You know, to the uninitiated, sumo wrestling hardly looks like a sport. It seems more like two huge fat guys grappling with each other, trying to get hold of these diaper things they wear to throw their opponent to the floor. Well, the world of sumo is a whole lot more complicated. And one of the greatest ambassadors of sumo wrestling is the American Manny Yarborough, himself a former amateur world champion. Steve Paulson recently talked with Manny Yarborough. Steve, what was the occasion for the interview?
He's one of the sumo wrestlers featured in the documentary film Sumo East and West, and he came to the Wisconsin Film Festival to talk about the film and about the world of sumo wrestling.
I understand Manny Yarborough is actually quite an athlete.
Yeah, actually, he was a big athlete in college. He played college football. He was an All-American wrestler. He placed high in judo competitions all before he became a sumo wrestler. And in fact, he says that he could even dunk a basketball when he weighed 500 pounds, and he now weighs a lot more than that.
And in fact, Yarborough's earned the title, hasn't he, of the in the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's heaviest athlete?
Yeah.
What was it like to interview a guy that big?
Well, he's an enormous man and a very likable guy. And I have to say, I've never quite done an interview like this before. I'd originally talked about having him come over to the studio, but he would only fit in a van. And so that was just too hard. So I went over to his hotel room and went up, and he was sprawled in a love seat, totally filling up the couch. And I moved in as close as I could to him. I stretched my arm out as far as I could. And only that way could I actually get the microphone near his mouth. And he says that whenever he travels, and he travels by plane, it can be an ordeal because when he came to Madison, he almost got wedged into his seat and couldn't get out. But he does say that size is not everything when it comes to sumo wrestling.
It's not really the size of the man in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the man. And if you see some of the matches, especially on the amateur level, there's plenty of times where you've seen a 200-pound guy beat a 500-pound guy due to sheer determination and will.
How big are you?
Right now, I'm 6'7", 740, but it's all muscle.
And when you won the amateur world championship in 1995, what was your fighting weight then?
About 680. I was starting to escalate in the weight department right then. I started out at 525. So I did, over the 12 years, I've actually gained over 200 pounds. Not to say that I encourage people to do it. It's not in my best interest. And eventually, I'm going to have to make an effort to try to get it off. So
how did you get so big? How did you get up to 700 pounds?
You know, I wish I could sit here and say that it was through the, you know, ancient Chinese secret of doing this and that. It's just a culmination of different factors. I hate to say it, when I first started sumo, I had a job where I was delivering medical supplies. So I used to run up and down steps all day long. And then my job relocated, and I didn't relocate with the job. So I actually became more sedentary because I wasn't moving as much when I left the job. So that's really what happened. If you're used to being somewhat active, and when you slow down, and you still probably eat the same, then you're taking in more than you put out. And this is the end result of it. This is just my natural progression in life, not following through with as much exercise and probably just eating everything in sight.
What do you eat in a typical day?
It varies. I don't have a set regimen. There's days where I try to follow like a 2,500 calorie diet. There's days I follow an 8,000 calorie diet. I mean, it's just whatever I run across. Like today, all I had was two bags of peanuts all day long. Now tomorrow, who knows? I might go cow tipping and bring the cow home tomorrow. It's just whatever I run across.
What's the appeal of sumo wrestling for you? I mean, what you've done a lot of sports. You've done wrestling, football, judo. Why sumo?
When I went to Japan, because I was like the normal person. I was against it. I was like, oh, it's unappealing. You got these fat guys bumping bellies. You got the guys eating sushi. I could never imagine myself eating raw fish or whatever. I was closed mind till I actually went over to Japan, and the guy showed me the ropes as far as how these guys live and how they train. These guys are modern-day warriors. They're like modern-day samurais. They live where they train. When you're a sumo wrestler in Japan, you're a sumo wrestler 24 hours a day. It's not like here you're a baseball player, then you become a regular person. You have to uphold being a sumo everywhere you go. You have to walk a certain way. You have to present yourself a certain way. And I just found that appealing. And then I've also liked one-on-one sports. I mean, I like football and basketball, but I like the sports where you have to hold your own as an individual.
Now, the other thing about sumo is there's so much tradition in this sport. I mean, I know legend has it that it goes back thousands of years to when two Japanese gods were wrestling each other. But, I mean, that ritual is so much a part of, certainly of sumo in Japan.
When you fight over there, and this is probably the only sport where it has like a ritualistic or religious ritualistic aspect attached to it, that, like you said, it goes back at least 2,000 years. And these guys, they take it serious. Like when they toss the salt into the ring, that's to purify the ring, to hopefully that no one gets hurt. And then when the guys, they do the clap and they show that they go with their hands out like that, that's to show the guys that they're fighting with no weapons. And there's something kind of rugged and something samurai about that that doesn't exist in other sports. And they want all the countries, and all the countries follow the tradition. So it's good to see that ritualistic aspect of it. Like, you know, you got guys using cell phones after touchdowns and stuff like that. See, none of that doesn't exist in sumo. And it's good just to see that guys can fight the best they can and then have camaraderie afterwards and try to uphold the rules of the sport.
Well, and the other thing that I've noticed is when I've watched sumo matches in Japan, there's, if you didn't see the match, you wouldn't know who won, because the opponents bow to each other. There's this, basically, no one has any expressions. There's no joy if you've just thrown the other guy. That's just all part of the way you're supposed to do it in Japan?
That's the first thing that you're taught. You're not supposed to know whether a wrestler has won or lost. You're supposed to remain even keel no matter what happened. And if you saw the movie, I know you saw there was a part where Wayne, because Wayne used to be a former professional, and he won this tournament, and he went crazy. And I can understand, because Wayne has always, he's been a subdued person all his life. And for all the things that he went through to come back to win that tournament, he knew better not to do it, but I think it was beautiful that he did do it, to see this guy express himself like that. But he knew down, you know, if he was in Japan, he wouldn't be able to do that. So it was just kind of, to me, that was the most telling point of the movie, because knowing what he went through and knowing what was involved to him to get to that point, it makes me cry every time I see that part of the movie. So that's the best part. And yeah, that's something that they learn from day one.
Now, in the movie, Wayne he was an up-and-coming sumo wrestler, an American, a Hawaiian, who went to Japan, and then he got hurt, and then he had surgery, and that was, what, the end of his professional career?
Yeah, see, you know, it's not like American sports. Those guys, if you get hurt over there, it's not like you have access to the best doctors or whatever. They put you the best you can and let the chips fall where they may. So in his case, that he got hurt, and when it was time for him to return, he just couldn't do it. I don't think he got the best medical attention at the time neither. You know, they have a ritual when you first get to Japan. It's called matawari, where the guys stretch you out. The first thing they do is they put you on the ground, and they put a 400-pound guy on your back, and they push you down to the ground to rip up all your ligaments. And they don't send you to the hospital. They give you a day to recover, and you have to go back out there and wrestle. So like I said, these guys are old-time samurais, man. That's the way of the warrior that these guys live.
Well, I have to say that the part of the film where they're showing the training, and especially for guys who are just starting, what do they call it? I mean, they call it punishment. And it's just, I mean, for one thing, these people are, like, you know, sitting down and basically doing the splits. And then what? You have some guy who will just come and sometimes just jump on top of you, on your back.
Yeah, that's how they become flexible. I mean, these guys are amazingly flexible. We did a demonstration in Switzerland with the Japanese team, and they brought some dancers, and the Japanese wrestlers were just as flexible as the ballet dancers. These guys, that's their training regimen, and that's every Japanese sumo wrestler goes through that. You know, that's something that they have to go through, but that allows them to become better wrestlers. And
Wait, you're saying that a 400-pound or a 300-pound sumo wrestler is as flexible, as limber, as a dancer?
Yeah, and I know it sounds unbelievable. One of the most amazing things is when they do the stretching demonstrations, when they stretch their legs out, they can actually put their stomachs on the ground forward. They put their stomachs equal, they go straight forward. And they always encourage people, you know, take pictures of this. This is something that you don't see every day. That's just a training regimen that they follow. And, you know, these guys, they get beat. You know, there's no sporting event that you find coaches that can beat you legally. These guys, they get beat with sticks, and you have to perform. It's all a matter of performance. And if the Oyakata doesn't like the way you're fighting, he'll keep you out there for an hour.
Now, I'm guessing, given the physical demands, it can be, I don't know if dangerous is quite the right word, but a lot of people must have health problems.
You know what's strange? Like, the Japanese guys, they put the weight on, but when they retire, the weight flies off of them. I don't know what they do. It's like they were never heavy. You know, people from this side of the world, it's not as easy. You know, someone like myself, or even Hawaiian guys who have the propensity for carrying the size, it becomes a little bit more difficult. So yeah, there's going to be some health issues, but, you know, they've done studies, and there are doctors who will tell you that the fat that a sumo wrestler has is good fat, if there's such a word, because there's a good fat and there's a bad fat. But from the training that these guys do, they develop, the fat that they develop is actually considered good fat. I've been told by a couple doctors that, being a fat guy, at least I got the good fat as opposed to the bad fat.
The world's heaviest athlete, sumo wrestler Manny Yarborough. He spoke with Steve Paulson.